that important fact. And on Mother's Day, it's a tradition, I guess you'd call it, to have a child dedication. We do this two times a year, one on Thanksgiving weekend, and the other on Mother's Day. We have a child dedication. And this is rooted in Scripture, particularly an event in the life of Jesus. We read about it in Mark chapter 10, when some parents brought their little children to Jesus to have him bless their kids, to have him put his hands on them and bless them. And when that happened, the Scripture says that his disciples got a little upset. They thought, why are these kids wasting Jesus' time? And they tried to shoo the kids away, but Jesus got ticked off. He says, hey, this is important. Children are very, very important. And he says, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He says, that's how every person, adult or child, receives the kingdom as a child. We have to humble ourselves and depend on God, just as a little child depends on his or her parents. And so because of that passage and that great reminder of how important it is, that's what we do here at Stony Creek Church with our children, is we have a public service of dedication. So in the same way, to kind of bring them before the Lord and to ask his blessing on them, and not just them, but on the parents as well, so that those parents will be wise and raise those children in a way that honors God and directs them to trust in Jesus as their personal Savior when they're old enough to do so. And we have three couples today that are dedicating children, and we're going to ask them to come up in alphabetical order. First, we have the Buskerts. Why don't you come on up? Bob and Amy Buskert are dedicating little Macy Pearl, and there she is, Macy Pearl. Come on up right up in the center here, guys. Good to see you. And I'll tell you, isn't she cute? She is so cute and just so adorable that somebody decided to name a department store after her, you know? And I'm telling you, that's it's well worth it. Macy was born on December 5th, 2010. So she's just about 6 months old. And the name Macy is actually French in derivation and means, get this, Matthew's estate. Matthew's estate. And I think that's really cool because in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that Jesus saw a man by the name of Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. And Jesus said to him, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. And later in that same passage, we're told that Matthew had Jesus over to his house for dinner. And so I think Matthew's estate is really a cool name because that means it's a place where Jesus has been welcomed. And so my hope and prayer is going to be that Macy will be the type of woman who grows up to be welcoming to Jesus and welcoming to others. All right? Well, why don't you guys stand over here, and we'll get to praying over you in just a minute. Well, we're going to meet the second couple now, Dan and Jelena Cronin. Oh, okay, Dan couldn't come today. But we have, that's okay, Shane Luke Cronin. And Shane was born about 10 years ago, February 4th, 2001. And you know, it's important for us, sometimes we call these events, baby dedications, but that's a misnomer. They're actually child dedications. We have dedicated teenagers up here. So Shane, man, you're right in style, all right? No problem at all. Shane is actually of Irish derivation and means God is gracious. Did you know that? Did you know that that's what your name means? God is gracious. Well, I'm here to tell you that he is gracious. He's very gracious. I've got a scripture verse for you, too. It's in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says, yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. So your very name just kind of proclaims that powerful truth, Shane. That is really cool. Isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. So your whole life can kind of testify to that fact because it's built right into your name. All right. Well, why don't you guys stand over there and we'll meet our next. Last, but certainly not least, we've got Eric and Laura Voigt. Eric and Laura Voigt, they're dedicating Henry Allen Voigt, who was born September 1st, 2010. And he's just a little macho man, I can tell. There. And that name Henry, look at that picture. It just says it all there. You can see it in his face there. Henry is Old German and in derivation, and it means ruler of the household. All right? So you guys better watch out. He's going to want to run things there at your place, okay? I mean, that's why so many kings have been named Henry, right? Yeah. And this reminded me of this verse in Psalm 127, verse 1, that says, unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. So that means that the Lord has to be the one that builds our family, right? We have to give him first place in our household. He has to be truly the ruler of the house. And you know what, Henry? You can be a reminder of that as you grow up, that the rulership, you might have it in a human sense, but the Lord has it in the full and complete sense. All right, why don't you guys come back this way? Kind of just, no, you're good right there. You're right in the center. Come on. I'll tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to, why don't we all stand together for this, that psalm that I read from, I thought was so great. I thought, hey, why don't we all just kind of read it together here? We get to the yellow print. That's your turn. That's your place to chime in and read along out loud with me, okay? This is sort of a blessing that we as a church place on those that are being dedicated today. And then we'll have a brief prayer, okay? It says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man and the woman whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Join with me in prayer, and if you feel led to do so, you might, it's just a symbolic gesture, put your hand forward. That's what they did in biblical times to kind of indicate that you're conferring blessing from the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for these three families here and their kids. As your word says, they are a gift from you. And we're very grateful for that gift. And now, Lord, as we dedicate them publicly to you, we have some requests of you, Father. We ask that you help each mom and dad here to raise these children in a God-honoring way, to nurture these kids physically, emotionally, and spiritually, to raise them in a way that really shows Christianity, doesn't just talk about it, but actually demonstrates it in everyday life, not just on Sunday morning, but 24/7. So that when each of these children is old enough to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, that child will want to do so enthusiastically. Lord, we pray for little Macy Pearl. And we pray for Shane Luke. And we pray for Henry Allen. And we pray for each of their parents, Lord, your blessing. May you cause them, Lord, to prosper in all ways, to be strong physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. May they trust in you as Lord and Savior, and may you protect them and watch over them every day of their lives. And now, Father, we commit them to you. We dedicate these children and their parents to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Praying your blessing in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. That's good. It's great. Very touching. When I first saw it, I thought it was a Hallmark commercial, but you want to get your outline out so that you can follow along with our message here today. When Mother's Day is coming up, maybe you wonder, what should I get Mom this year? Well, hopefully you've already figured that out by now. But whether or not you have, today we're looking at what to give Mom. Not only on Mother's Day, but every day. Rather than talk about cards and candy and flowers, mink coats, other nice gifts, today I'd like to get a bit more of a wide-angle look at the subject. We begin by taking a ride in a time machine back 20 centuries to that first Good Friday when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The scene is a horribly brutal and ugly execution. Jesus' body hangs from three spikes bored through his flesh into rough timber. His swollen face, black and blue from the slaps and punches of soldiers, glistens with a glaze of fresh blood and sweat that oozes from his thorn-crowned brow. His back, shredded to ribbons by a Roman whip, is ablaze with misery. His mouth is a desert. The simple act of breathing is an agonizing ordeal that requires concentration and energy, both of which are sorely depleted. Out of this universe of anguish, he can only gasp seven short sound bites, seven solemn sacred sayings that echo immortal to us across the deep canyons of two millennia. What does he say? On what weighty topics does the Son of God comment when every syllable is a laborious chore? One of these priceless phrases, perhaps no more than a tortured whisper, was for the care of his mom. Let's tune in to the scene. It's recorded in John chapter 19, beginning at verse 26. And again, you can help me out when we get to the yellow print. It says, when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, note that, the disciple he loved, he said to her, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to this disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Think about it. This is the greatest moment in human history, along with Jesus' resurrection. Jesus has the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders, a moment of cosmic significance. And yet, what's he thinking about? Well, one thing for sure, he's thinking about his mom, for one. His mom. By the world's standards, not a very important-looking person, just an old peasant woman from a hick town called Nazareth. By the world's standard, she's a nobody. Jesus is a grown man by this time. He's in his mid-30s. His mother is a widow. He doesn't say, hey, I'm of age now. I'm out on my own. I don't really have time to worry about what's going on in her life. I'm literally out saving the world. Instead, he entrusts her care to the very best, the best friend that Jesus had, the disciple John, who wrote the Gospel of John. We're told here that he was Jesus' favorite disciple. He was the disciple Jesus loved. Now, of course, Jesus loved all his disciples. But since this one is writing the gospel, and he feels especially loved, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. We say that God doesn't play favorites. But Jesus did have a favorite disciple. He had a best friend. And his best earthly friend, one of Jesus' inner circle, was the Apostle John. He was the only of Jesus' male disciples that actually stuck around for the crucifixion. The other male disciples skedaddled. They were afraid. But John and some of the women disciples, they were brave enough to stay there. The one that became known in history, the Apostle John, as the disciple of love, is the one who writes these words. And Jesus says, that's the one for my mom. That's the one who will take care of her. He's the best I've got. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else that I say, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. Give mom your best. Just like Jesus did on the cross. His best, his favorite. And this goes not just for your birth mom, but your stepmom, if you have one. Your mom-in-law, if you have one. And husbands, for the mom of your kids, your wife, the moms in our lives. Let's look at six excellent gifts for mom in application of what we've learned. First, one excellent gift you can give to your mom, loving words. This is the first point on your outline. Loving words. Look what Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says. Help me out on this one. But I say, love your enemies. You say, now what in the world does that have to do with saying loving words to mom? Well, I figure if you're supposed to love your enemies, how much more for mom, right? And that means saying it along with showing it. Both saying and showing are important. When I was just a little kid, just after I learned to read and write, I found a leftover piece of board in the garage that wasn't being used for anything, and I must have been in a sentimental mood that day. Either that, or I was in trouble with my mom and I wanted to smooth some things over. I don't remember which. But I took this piece of board, here it is, and I wrote on it with a green magic marker, "I love you, Mom." I don't know if you can all see it from where you're seated, but I wrote it on this board, and I presented it to my mom. And she was, of course, very impressed with her son's artwork. And she impressed that she took it and put it in a place where it would be readily accessible, a place where she would see it constantly, right in the laundry room next to the wash basin. Now, I have to confess, I wondered, you know, why not on the mantle in the front room or some other more prominent place? But what was really cool is that it was a place that she would look at and she would see on a regular basis. And it has remained there. This was over 45 years ago. It has remained there. I asked Scott to bring it. My mom is now getting assisted living. She has Alzheimer's. But this little plaque has remained there all those years. In fact, my older brother, Ron, he was so impressed with the accolades that I got for this artwork that he tried copycatting, all right? This was his version, all right? As you can see, he took a piece of cardboard, wasn't the same quality, all right? And wrote out the words and pasted them onto this, all right? And you can see time has not been as good to his artwork as it has been to mine. But it also got the favored status of being in that laundry room right next to mine. Now, I don't know why Scott never got into the act and did. Maybe he was intimidated by the artistic genius of his brothers. But obviously, this meant a lot to my mom, that I expressed those words, and my brother expressed those words, "I love you, Mom." I want to encourage you to express those words to your mom, if she's still living. You might say, well, she knows it without my having to say it. Maybe she does, but say it anyway. Say it anyway. Loving words. Let's look at a second excellent gift for mom. Number two is respect. Even when she's wrong. Even when she's wrong. Kids, you hear this? Young people, hear this? I hate to say it, but when you're a kid, sometimes it seems that mom is the easiest authority figure to disrespect. Now, I know households differ, and it's maybe not the case in every home, but I think that this is often the case. I know it was in my home growing up. I don't say that it's a good thing. I'm not proud of it. But Dad was too scary. But Mom, it just seemed like she was doable, you know? When I got upset or angry, sometimes I could be a little more lippy with her. But I think that this is too bad. In our culture, respect for authority is often not very highly valued. Bucking the system really seems like it's almost part of our DNA here in the United States of America, especially since the 1960s. But the Bible gives us God's perspective on this important subject. Even though for us, it seems totally radical. Look at the words of Jesus here in Mark chapter 7, verse 10. He's quoting from the law of Moses in the Old Testament. Moses gave you this law from God. Honor your father and mother. That's one of the top 10, one of the 10 commandments. And, get this, anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. Good night. Is that actually in the Bible? How many of you would be dead if this law? I know I would be. I certainly wouldn't be here today. Now you say, yeah, but those are quotations from the Old Testament, you know, the law of Moses and that. We're not into all that legalistic stuff. We're into Jesus, right? Gentle, loving Jesus. Hey, remember, who do you think spoke those words? Who do you think endorsed those words? Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, when your kids, I'm not telling anybody to execute their kids, all right? I could just see the headlines, you know, pastor encourages parents to kill their kid. No. I'm just saying that was part of the legislation, part of the law, the civic government under Old Testament law of Moses. And there's certainly a principle there. The principle is that God regards respecting your parents to be extremely important. Extremely, that's his opinion on it. And so, don't call yourself a Christ follower if you don't follow Christ and do that. The Bible tells us to honor mom, not just when we agree with her, not just when she's right. You're supposed to honor her, period. That means treating her with respect, always. That means listening with respect. Not rolling your eyes, not huffing, not sloughing her off or walking out of the room before she's even done explaining. The Bible teaches that when we diss our parents, we diss God who gave them to us. And so respect mom, even when she's wrong. And that happens occasionally, right? Third excellent gift for mom is regular acts of kindness. I got a great scripture verse for this one. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21. If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. You say, what's this got to do with mom? Well, again, if we're ordered to treat our enemies like this, we're supposed to be kind to our enemies, to the scumbags in our lives. How much more so for mom? What can you do for mom today that would really show her that she's special to you, that she's very, very important and very appreciated by you? Not just on days like today, but on regular days, too. What can you do? What will you do? Let's look at a fourth excellent gift for mom. Praise in front of others. Praise in front of others. Look at Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 28. Talking about the virtuous woman. Look what it says. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Doesn't that just turn the world's way of looking at what is valuable in a woman, just turns that right on its head? Mom may know you love her and that you think very highly of her, but she may wonder if others know that you think that way. And so don't embarrass her. My mom always didn't like it when I would talk about her from up here when she was able to come to church, because it always embarrassed her. She'd say, don't do that. But I always liked to brag on her and praise her in front of other people, and I know that meant a lot to her. Husbands, too. compliment your wife in public when she's there. And when she's not there, too. Build up her confidence in your love for her. This is important. Number five, excellent gift for mom. Forgiveness of her faults. No mom is perfect, not even mine. Chances are every person in your life needs forgiveness from time to time. Right? Because we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. Christ follower, your relationship with God is grounded in the forgiveness that Christ paid for on the cross. No Christ follower can enjoy God's forgiveness while withholding it from another human being. Look what Jesus himself says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Extending forgiveness to mom may be a simple matter of excusing her little idiosyncrasies. Even moms have some of those. Others, well, we may need to revisit and forgive wounds that go way back, many years, things that happened a long time ago. When you forgive a person, you set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is you. The sixth excellent gift for mom on your outline is gratitude for all she's done for you. Gratitude. When was the last time you said to mom, thanks for everything you've done for me? I just want to tell you, I really appreciate the fact that you're my mom. All that you've done for me. You know, ingratitude is a sin. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You should know this, Timothy, Paul writes, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Ungrateful. The operative word here. Notice that it follows disobedience to parents. I think that those two are always related. Ingratitude and disobedience. If you're not grateful to mom, the person who gave you life, carried you for 9 months, nursed you, fed you, wiped your nose, not to mention your backside, to whom will you be grateful? Jesus gave his mom his best. When he was dying, he gave her his best friend to take care of her. That happened right at the same time Jesus was giving his best for the whole world. He gave his life as a payment for our sins so that we could be saved by trusting in the crucified and risen from the dead Savior and Lord. Have you trusted in Christ to save you? He gave his best for you. A 36-year-old mom named Patty Lawson was driving in the San Bernardino Mountains with her 2-year-old son when her car slid off the road and landed upside down in a cold mountain stream. When her rescuers found her, Patty was dead. But miraculously, her 2-year-old son was still alive. They found her locked in a position of death, frozen that way. She was actually holding her son up in the submerged vehicle where the water had come into the car and threatened to drown them both. But she held her son up so that he could breathe the air in the upper part of the vehicle. And she held him there for 8 hours, 48 degree water. She died that way, in that position, but her son lived. Life-saving position right there with her arms outstretched. Jesus died to save the world with his arms outstretched. He gave his best for his mom, and he gave his best for all of us. Give mom your best. We're going to close our service here in just a moment. We're going to have some special music, and our ushers are going to prepare.